Hello and welcome back. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington with a program that helps you learn and improve your American English. We do this by speaking a little more slowly than normal and using words that are easier to understand. At the same time, we talk about interesting and important events that are happening all around us. Today, we have two stories for you. We will begin with a story about weather and how it has threatened the lives of thousands of refugees in the Middle East. Then, a story that is much more fun to listen to. It's about how some people are trying to keep animals happy. If you are ready, let's get started with part one of As It Is. A strong winter storm struck the Middle East in the middle of January. The storm has been called one of the strongest to hit the area in 10 years. Hundreds of thousands of refugees were affected by the cold and snow. Many of the refugees live in temporary shelters, largely unprotected from the cold. Some tent settlements are found in the Lebanese capital, Beirut. Others are in the mountains of northern Lebanon. It is a daily fight for survival. Christopher Cruz reports.
More than 1 million people have fled to Lebanon, driven out of Syria by the conflict there. But in Lebanon, they face another threat. In the Baqa area, the refugees deal with freezing temperatures. There were reports earlier this month that at least 3 refugees died during heavy snowfall and storms. Fatmi Zakour's husband was killed in the Syrian war. She now lives in a refugee camp with 120 Syrians. She is worried about her 3 children. She told VOA, "We were in a house. We were so happy there. Everything changed for us here. My husband was killed, and I have 2 handicapped kids. And my oldest daughter has heart problems. Everything changed. We're living in a tent now. We aren't used to living in a tent. Everything is different." But help came for Fatmi Zakour and her family after the storms. The Lebanese government and non-governmental organizations sent doctors to the camps in an effort to help the families living in the basic, simple tents. But there are at least 400,000 refugees in the Baqa area, and hundreds of thousands in other parts of Lebanon. Reports estimate 83% of them are women and children. It will be difficult to help them all. Dr. Fatima Al-Moussaoui works for Lebanon's Ministry of Health. Before the storms, many refugees were able to deal with the weather, but they were not expecting the extreme cold and made no plans for how they would stay warm. There are many young children and old people among the refugees. Aid workers had to go into each tent and provide medical care there because the people inside were often unable to leave their tent. The refugee settlements do not have good roads, fresh water, or electricity. Experts say Lebanon is now home to 1.6 million refugees. Many live in the more than 1,400 temporary camps across the country. For many of the refugees, this is not their first winter living in such conditions, but it is one of the coldest. Some of them are in poor health. Breathing problems and infections are common. The cold weather worsens the health of individuals with long-term disorders. The United Nations Children's Fund is working with local groups to give clothing to refugee children. UN agencies are also providing blankets and food. Joe Awad leads a local aid group. He says there was only one big storm and less snow last year, but more donations.
Last year, there was more money and more funding to help them than this year. So this year, even all the UN agencies, and they lack funding for this.
There are new calls for the international community to give more aid to the refugees. I'm Christopher Cruz.
You are listening to the Voice of America, and we are coming to you from Washington. Here's a question for you. Can animals be artistic? Some experts think so. Painting and music are part of efforts to keep animals happy at the Smithsonian Institution's National Zoo here in Washington, D.C. As we hear from Ashley Thompson, zookeepers believe that animals need enrichment just like people do.
A sloth bear called Francois is one of the National Zoo's resident artists. He began his artistic career 2 years ago. Francois has a very unusual way to paint, a technique, some would say. He uses his breath to paint. His zookeeper, Stacy Tabellario, says that although the technique may look strange, it is actually a very natural behavior for sloth bears.
They've got big, big lungs, and they can suck things up, and then in the same breath, they can exhale a huge amount of air. So we took this natural behavior of the exhale, we stuffed up one of those tubes full of paint, and we asked him to exhale through it, and that expels all of the paint onto the canvas, making these really cool paintings.
Animal artists come in all shapes and sizes at the Smithsonian's National Zoo. They use many kinds of techniques to create their works of art. Many use their paws or claws, much like a human painter would use his or her hands. Apes use paintbrushes. Stacy Tabellario says Francois seems to enjoy expressing himself through his art.
When I set up the materials for a painting activity, he comes and sits next to them and waits until we're ready to start painting. He does that every time. I also see where his eyes go, that he does see the paint come out of the tube and land on the canvas.
But not every animal wants to paint. Kenton Kearns cares for animals in the zoo's small mammals building.
Painting is absolutely a choice. So it's very clear to us if an animal does not want to do a painting session. And if that's the case, we'll stop it right away. We'll choose another animal and give them the opportunity to do it.
Music is another part of the arts enrichment program. Ms. Tabellario heads the zoo's enrichment and training committee. She says physically and mentally stimulating activities are an important part of the daily care of the animals. Trainers have a lot of tools, from tablet computers